There are three principles that we all need to follow if we're to bring together Jews and Gentiles into one people or to become Am Echad. There have been many movements of late that have all laid out this premise. Some define these movements as Messianic Israel. There's the two-house movement of Israel. There's Judah and Ephraim. Then there's Ephraim and Judah, etc. By no means am I going to try and label exactly what these movements are. I can tell you what it is not. It is not Messianic Judaism. It is not the Church of Christianity. It is not Judaism or any other universal religion. My intention here is to lay out what I'm going to call our pillars of our walk in faith as it pertains to Jews and Gentiles. I'm Jewish, in case you didn't know. I didn't know what that means except that I'm physically descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm part of one of the 12 tribes of Israel already. But I don't know which one. I firmly believe that Gentiles who are saved are grafted into Israel and that they are now beginning to see just who they are. The same as Judah is beginning to see the Messiah, Yeshua. Jewish people are beginning to see him. Gentiles are beginning to see where they belong. So in that blindness being lifted, those of us who already see our heritage and are coming together as one people need to be ready to help our brethren as they are coming back from their exile. It's my firm belief that we must apply three things to our walk as returning, and I'm going to call us all Israelites, okay, or Hebrews. Faith in Yeshua as Messiah and God must be first and foremost in all of our daily walk. Without this, where would we obtain eternal life? Where would we get salvation, redemption, and forgiveness for our sins? The second pillar in this walk must be following the way that God, through Yeshua, instructed us to do so in His Torah. And thirdly, we have to teach the unity of Jew and Gentile. As I like to describe them, Am Echad, or Kahal Echad, one people worshiping together. There are many who try to switch around those last two parts. They attempt to put a two-house teaching before the Torah. This won't work and will cause many to stumble in their return because without a proper foundation of understanding of God's teachings that are in His Torah, how can we possibly hope to unite two bickering brothers when they have nothing in common? In many cases, they don't even have faith in Yeshua as a common unifying factor. When they do, as in the case of Messianic Judaism and Christianity as a whole, they wind up on different sides of the street. With Messianic Judaism on one side and the church on the other. Though they both see Yeshua, they can't seem to bring it all together. So I don't presume to try to tell you I have a solution to all these problems. What I do present you with is some thoughts on why I believe the three parts need to be in place in that particular order. Deuteronomy 32, verse 20 says, "And he will say, I shall hide my face from them and see what their end will be. For they are a generation of reversals, children whose upbringing is not in them." In Habakkuk, 2:4, "Behold, his soul is defiant, it is unsettled in him. But the righteous person shall live through his faith." The Hebrew word for faith is emunah. It also means firmness, fidelity, steadfastness, steadiness. Without faith in the God of Israel, God and His Son Yeshua, we are told that He will hide His face from us because we are children who have not been raised in the teachings of God. The first walk of our faith should be faith in God through Yeshua. Yeshua is the door through whom we enter, and it is through Yeshua that we receive salvation from God. God is the forgiver of sin and the source of our redemption. You can't get it any other way. You can't work for it. You can't go to Walmart and buy it. You got to go to Yeshua. I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6, right? If we don't have faith in God and in Yeshua, then what is the purpose for our being? If this life is to be without God, then that means we are born, we live an allotted number of years, and then we die. A lot of people believe that. That's it. You're done. Is that what you truly believe and desire? A lot of people who say they believe in God believe that. I know that's not enough for me, not enough for y'all, and I hope everybody you know it's not enough for them either. So let's look at Acts 14:27. And when they arrived, they gathered together the assembly and were declaring as many things that God has done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the nations. And in 15:9, he made no difference between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Now in the New Testament, they don't use a lot of Hebrew these days. They use Greek. So the Greek word is for faith is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, I guess, which is the conviction of the truth of anything. It would make it equivalent to emunah. An interesting thing about emunah is that the word for faith also means trust and belief. There are no separate words in Hebrew or Aramaic for trust, faith, or belief. They're all the same word. The concept of thinking is that faith, belief, and trust are all one and the same thing. This causes us a problem in English because we define all these things separately, while Jews don't. They all mean the same thing to a Jew. This may be why we have a difficulty in identifying that God can be more than one and yet one. A sort of paradox that causes division, even in the body of Messiah and how we approach God. Acts 20, verse 21, solemnly testifying to both Yehudim and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. So Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is showing us that faith in God brings repentance and that our trust or faith should be in Yeshua, our Messiah. This must be the first step in our walk. It does not matter whether you're Torah observant or not at all observant, because faith is a free gift from God. You don't have to go buy it at Walmart. You don't have to get it or do anything to receive it. You get your faith as a free gift from God. Faith in Yeshua for our salvation must come first and then Torah observance. This is something I'll talk about later. Paul makes it clear that all believers are equal. We're all equal. We're all the same, Galatians 3:28. And all believers start at the same point. Some may have more of an understanding than others. But once we accept Yeshua as the Messiah, we all start from square one. When you play Monopoly, you always start at the beginning. You go past Baltic Avenue. You don't start on Illinois Avenue. You always start your game. I don't know what to call that spot. Go. You don't start at free parking. You all start in the same place, right? Jeez. It's a hard crowd, yeah? Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Yeshua the Messiah for all those who believe, for there is no difference. The Greek word used for faith, I said, was pistis, which is the same word that we saw used earlier to define trust. Once again, we see that faith, trust, or belief in Yeshua is primary and is the equalization factor where all believers start. Now let's take a look at how this begins to fit together in our second part of this. Let's look at Romans 3:27, 28 first. Where then is boasting? It is shut out. By what kind of law? Of works? No, by a law of faith. For we regard that man is justified by faith separately from works of the Torah. And Romans 3:31, do we then render inoperative the Torah through faith? Do we cancel it out? Do we get rid of it? May it never be. Romans 3:31 says, on the contrary, we uphold the Torah. We don't ever do it away. We don't get rid of it. We still have it. So I believe the second part of this must be our walk, must be our Torah. Torah observance in and of itself will not bring you salvation, will not bring you redemption. Only faith in Yeshua, I told you that, can do this. God then makes perfectly clear in His Word and through His Word, and His Word is Yeshua. He is the Word. Ask John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word later came and dwelt among us. But who's the Word? Yeshua is the Word. Too many believers today believe that the Torah has been done away with, and that is not true to what Paul wrote in the book of Romans. I just read it for you. So when many believers make the statement that the Torah is done away with, or that we no longer have to follow the Torah because that is being under the law, I have to shake my head in disbelief. Why? Because of what Shaul said in Romans 3:31. He says, we uphold the Torah. Does that sound like it's been done away with? We uphold the Torah. So if he upholds the Torah, then how can we say that we are no longer under the law? Have we misinterpreted his words? Great many people have, apparently. They don't read the black parts of the Bible or the red parts. They just kind of read the white parts. John said, in the beginning was the Word. That's heavy for me. It should make us stop and pause. We should take a moment to consider what John is saying. Too many times we just ramble off those words, or any words, and we don't really pay attention to what we're saying. John is saying that the Word was from the beginning, and that the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Most of us accept that the Word is talking about Yeshua. John goes on to say that Yeshua has always existed with God because he is God. He's not God's son, he is God. Now, how can that be? That just blows my mind, and it should yours. Yeshua is the Word, and Yeshua is God, and Yeshua has always been. How is it possible that the Son has always been with the Father if he did not come into physical existence until about 2,000 years ago? Because the physical and the spiritual are two different planes of existence. We live in the physical, and that time here is constrained, while in the spiritual realm, time is not constrained. The spiritual realm exists without time. It is eternal. This is the plane that we live out eternity with Yeshua and God. Can't wait to get there. Yet by all accounts, if I understand the Word of God correctly, eternity will one day exist here, right here in the physical realm. Wow. Remember that after Yeshua was resurrected from the grave, he appeared to his disciples and he could transcend space and time. So what is the point I'm trying to bring to you? That Yeshua is the Word, and the Word of God is the Torah, because the Torah is the commandments, the statutes, the decrees, the judgments, and ordinances that come from God and instruct us what God considers to be right and wrong. Remember, the Jews come out of Egypt, a bunch of slaves. They didn't know what to do. What do we do, God? Well, here's your Torah. This is your instruction book. The Torah defines sin in God's eyes. We wouldn't know that it's not okay to rob a bank if we didn't read the Torah. We'd think it was just hunky-dory okay. The Torah is not just a compilation of rules and regulations that God gave to mankind so that he could show us that we could never be righteous. The Torah points the way to Yeshua. Remember that Yeshua is the first part of our walk, right? He is the goal of the Torah. This is what the Torah is shooting towards. When we transgress the Torah, we can turn to Yeshua for forgiveness. Why? Because he is God, and God forgives sin and offers us redemption through faith in Yeshua. So if this is true, then why do we need the Torah? Isn't the Torah something that God gave to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai through Moses? Guess again. Genesis 26, 5, before they ever got to Mount Sinai. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my decrees, and my Torahs. In most translations, the word that is translated in the Torahs, in the Art Scroll Tanakh, is usually rendered laws. We always hear laws. In Hebrew, the word for that is Torah. Why is this significant? Because it clearly shows us that Abraham had the Torah of God and he followed it. How could that be? This precedes the giving at Mount Sinai. This is biblical evidence that the Torah existed and has always existed and is tied to the voice of God that we would assume speaks the Word of God, and that Word is Yeshua. Yeshua is the living Word of God, and that Word is the Torah, and it brings life because of all creation came into being through what? The Word of God, Yeshua. Exodus 12:49, one law, or Torah, shall be there for the native and the sojourner who lives among you. One for all. All for one. That's Three Musketeers. The Torah is not the exclusive right of the Jewish people. They can't keep it. They can't just say, this is our Torah, you can't have it. They do. The Torah is not one covenant of the Jew, and then there's another one for the non-Jew. Well, you guys keep the Torah. God's going to write another book for you guys over here. Sequel. The Torah is the rule of God given to all of Israel. Israel is not defined as the Jewish people alone, but as the 12 tribes descended from the 12 sons of Jacob plus the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. When this instruction was given, it was not given to Jewish people alone, but to all the people of Israel. The Jewish people, as we know them today, did not begin until the time of Ezra, the Jews, we call them, Yehuda, Judah. Back in the time of the book of Exodus, it was just one of the 12 tribes, Judah. And now, I guess there's Gentiles that have been grafted in. Do you know any? Yeah, you do. She's one. She's one. You're one too. Exodus 13:9. And it shall be for you a sign on your arm and a reminder between your eyes so that God's Torah may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, God removed you from Egypt. This teaching is kept only today by observant Jews who place two leather boxes, they call them tefillin, on the arm and between their forehead and the other on the forearm. It is done as a literal reminder of the Torah that God gave to Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai. We put it on every morning when we pray. Following the Torah should be a constant in our lives. It should be our guiding light. You Google or do you Torah your life through? What do you do with your life? Find Starbucks or find the Torah? Following the Torah should be a constant in our lives. It should be our guiding light. As someone else has written, the Torah is the constitution of the nation of Israel. So if we consider ourselves to be part of the nation of Israel, should we not be following its constitution, the Torah? Those of us who are citizens of the United States, for example, are bound by the Constitution of the United States. We have to follow their laws, right? Should there be any less the place of the Torah in our lives as citizens of the nation of Israel, children of the living God? That's His Constitution. Exodus 24:12, God said to Moses, "Ascend to me to the mountain and remain there, and I shall give you the stone tablets." and the teaching and the commandment that I have written to teach them. Once more, in this translation of the Tanakh, the word translated as teachings is actually the Hebrew word Torah. Torah, teaching, instruction are one and the same, as Yeshua and God are one and the same. The Torah contains many parts to it, but the sum of its parts is called the Torah. God, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, are separate, yet the sum of their parts is Elohim. Elohim is a plural name for God. The Torah is a living extension of God in Yeshua. Why then do we try to disregard it? As believers in Yeshua, we do not throw away something that is part of Him and that helps us to understand what it is that pleases Him. The Torah is not bondage. The Torah is freedom, because we follow the Torah because we love God. Faith in Yeshua is the first step, and out of our faith and love for God, we live out the Torah in our lives because Yeshua did. Leviticus 24:22, "There shall be one law for you. It shall be for the sojourner and the native alike, for I am God, your God." One law. He's already said it twice. I've read it, haven't I? And in this word, in this passage, the Hebrew word for law is mishpat in Hebrew, which also stands for judgment, justice, and other things. It shows us that judgments come from God, are balanced because they apply to all of us. God applies the Torah in an even-handed fashion on all of us. There is not one Torah for the Jew and one for the non-Jew. Well, let's see. We'll just make the Jews have this Torah, and they don't eat pork, and you guys can eat pork because that's not part of your Torah, because you said it was done away with. I guess we'll just give you another Torah. No, there's only one Torah. The New Testament is not the New Testament. It's the Berit Chadishah, the renewed covenant that Israel got in Jeremiah 31. It's nothing new. All it is commentary. The first five books of the Torah are all there is. And from that comes the prophets who kept warning people, get back to those first five books. That's all they said in all those Jeremiah's and Isaiah's and Ezekiel's and Malachi's. And the Psalms, what were they? Prayers to God. From David, who wrote most of them. And Proverbs were things you could live by that came out of the Torah. And what did 85% of the New Testament, where does it reference you to go back to read? The Torah. John 5:46, "You should read Moses because he spoke about me," says Jesus. And what does Paul do? He comments on what Jesus said, which is what the Torah says. Because Jesus, Yeshua, said, "The Torah is me, and everything in it is me." And so, if you want to know about me, you should read about me, because Moses, he wrote about me. I got off on a rabbit trail there. Now I don't even know where I am. Numbers 15:16, "One teaching and one judgment shall be for you and for the sojourner who sojourns among you." I just read that in Leviticus. At Numbers 15:29, "The native among the children of Israel and the sojourner who sojourns among you, there shall be a single teaching for them." Well, if you don't like our teaching, don't go live with us. Go move to China or somewhere. I'll bet there's some Jews there. Messianic. I met some. And they've got sojourners with them too. Yeah. I noticed Japanese karate instructor who's got a black belt. He's a Messianic Jew. He lives in Calgary, Alberta. And I'll bet he's got some Gentiles that hang out with him. Yeah. "There shall be a single teaching for them." So we keep seeing it, huh? The teaching is the Torah. As Yeshua is the redemption for all of Israel and those who want to enter into Israel, so the Torah is our lamp that lights the way. Deuteronomy 4, verse 44. This is the teaching that Moses placed before the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 17:11. "According to the teaching that they will teach you and according to the judgment that they will say to you, you shall not deviate from the word that they will tell you, right or left. Ugh. Yarah, Y-A-R-A-H, is a Hebrew word which means to throw, to shoot, to cast, to shoot arrows. Another good word. Torah comes from that root word, Yarah, both of which are used in the passage that we just read. So the Torah is to teach the people, yet literally the Torah is shot like an arrow to its mark. That mark or target is you and me. You feel like you're getting hit with arrows. You feel like your heart is piercing right now. Should be. Because that should help you understand the place of Torah in your walk. You should be getting shot with arrows right now. If we claim that we are returning to our Hebraic roots, and we truly want to bring Jews and Gentiles back together, we must have common guidelines in place to effect that reunion. Faith in Yeshua is the start. Torah observance, the next step in the reunification process. Both houses, Jew and Gentile, to me, have to be on the same page together. And what better way to do this than all of us following the same book of rules, the Torah. Deuteronomy 28, 58, and 59. If you will not be careful to perform all the words of this Torah that are written in this book to fear this honored and awesome name, God, your God, then God will make extraordinary your blows and the blows of your offspring, great and faithful blows and evil and faithful illness. This is not an idle threat made to scare us into doing what God wants from us. This is a promise that applies to all of us, you and me. We are instructed to follow all the words of the Torah. In doing this, we are honoring the name of God and Yeshua, who is the Word of God. The words of God, Yeshua, are written in the book of the Torah. The alternative to not following the Torah of God and in turn not to follow Yeshua is to cause blows or plagues to come upon us. The word in Hebrew for blows or plagues is makah. It also means wound, slaughter, blow, stripe, beating, scourging, defeat, conquest, plague. It's an interesting word, has several meanings. And you also might have seen, I said, the word stripe, beating, scourging. Wow. This brings to mind what Yeshua underwent on our behalf. So could the penalty that was meant to be laid upon us in Deuteronomy have been laid upon the back and body of our Messiah instead? Huh? Deuteronomy 30, verse 10, when you listen to the voice of God, your God, to observe His commandments and His decrees that are written in this book of Torah, when you shall return to God with all your heart and with all your soul, we need to keep in mind that these instructions were given to all of the children of Israel and to those who would choose to dwell in our midst. This was a time when Israel was united as one people, so the Torah applied to Israel and to those who lived among them. Today we are divided, yet we are beginning to recognize one another and are starting to turn back to our Israelite heritage. In their return, Gentiles are bringing with them a lot of what they picked up in the dispersion. And they refuse, in many cases, to let it go. Torah has no place in their walk, and they may even go to great lengths to prove that they don't even have to follow this Torah. Boy. On the other side, we have those of Judah, who are, while keeping Torah to some extent, have compromised some of Torah to a lesser or a greater degree. They brought back with them the ways they picked up in Babylon during the exile. Now we know from the Bible that Israel was punished time and time again for being disobedient to their Torah. The Torah is God's will for His people. If God punished Israel, and by default Yeshua, for transgressing the Torah, Why do we think we can get away with disobedience? If they all got punished, including Yeshua, why do we think we could get away with it? We better than them? Let's see what Yeshua had to say about the Torah. Matthew 5. And these are my two favorite verses, 17 and 18. Do not think that I come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the Torah until all is accomplished. When I talk to a pastor in any church, I start there. And if we can't get beyond that, the conversation goes nowhere. Luke 16, 17, but it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of the letter of the Torah to fall. How many times have you ever heard someone say that Paul said this or that and that the Torah is no longer valid? Old Paul, eh? Let's blame him. We heard earlier that that was not the case, and Paul upheld the validity of the Torah, didn't he? As we see here in these two passages on Scripture that came from the mouth of the living Word himself, Yeshua, the Torah stands. It is not a matter of what Paul has to say on the subject of Torah validity. It's what Yeshua has to say. Who do we believe, Paul or Yeshua? Seems like many people don't. What I'm saying is that our interpretation of what he meant is in error. What we interpreted Paul to say was wrong. Because Paul would never say anything wrong. Yeshua was very clear about the place of Torah in our walk. Without the Torah, how can we bring back Jew and Gentile together if we don't have a Torah? There needs to be a bridge between them that will bring them together in faith in Yeshua and unite them as one people. So the cement that will bind them back together is called the Torah. Let's look at the third part of our walk, the Messianic walk. And that is the unity of Jew and Gentile. 1 Chronicles 9:3. In Jerusalem, there settled some of the children of Judah, some of the children of Benjamin, and some of the children of Ephraim and Manasseh. And in 2 Chronicles 15:8-9, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of the son of Oded, the prophet, he was encouraged. And he removed the detestable things from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had conquered from Mount Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of God that was before the hall of God. He gathered together all of Judah and Benjamin and those from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon who dwelled among them. For many people of Israel defected to him when they saw that God, his God, was with them. So now some of the Judah people will say that these passages prove that all of Israel had been regathered in Judah. This is not what it's saying. What we see is that some of the people from the northern tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, along with Simeon, came into the house of Judah because they still recognized the God of Israel and saw him moving with the king of Judah. Remember that most of Ephraim turned away from God and his Torah, set up false idols. So in rejecting the Torah, they may be rejecting Yeshua. So who is it that the church is worshiping that is identified as Jesus? Who are they worshiping? It may be a form of Yeshua without the full revelation of the Torah. It can be a form without substance. Yet Judah is worshiping the substance without the form. Man, see that? Put all three parts together and you wind up with the form and the substance in the same way as we have God, the Father, Yeshua, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. With each one of the parts has a role to play, put them all together and stand back and watch them move as one. Wow. In much the same way, bring together the Torah as the bond that unites faith in Yeshua with the unity of the reuniting of Jews and Gentiles, and stand back and watch what happens. Each part by itself has some power, but without those parts together, you bring them together, you can watch real power, because that's when this unity takes place, is when Yeshua will rule and reign. As Solomon ruled over the United Kingdom of Israel, so will Yeshua. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 31:1, when all this was finished, all the people of Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and smashed the pillars, cut down the Asherah trees, and dismantled the high places and the altars from all out of Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, until they were completely eradicated. Then all the children of Israel returned, each man to his property, to their cities. While this is an event that has happened in the past, I think it's going to happen again in the future. Amen? We are just at the beginning of fulfilling this prophecy, and it is a rocky beginning. We have disunity among those of us in the Messianic movement. Nobody, I go on this rabbi's forum, and when you see two rabbis arguing, there's three opinions for sure. Nobody agrees with anybody on anything. But this is to be expected. We're trying to find our way. We're lost sheep, right? No one has all the truth. Do you have all the truth, John? I don't. None of us do. You have it? No? Maybe Paul. No. We don't have all the truth. We are expected, as we're trying, no one has, we each see through a glass darkly, trying to make out the image. We need to work together and be willing to accept each other where we are. But, and I do mean but, we cannot do what Judah and Ephraim did in Scripture. We cannot reject the Torah of God. It is the master plan for His children. We cannot compromise its place in our walk. We must meet our brethren where they are in their walk. But we cannot compromise the place of Torah in that walk, or else we could wind up becoming like our ancestors, rejected by God because of our rejection of His teachings. Psalm 60, verse 7, so that your beloved ones may be released, save with your right hand and answer me. The right hand of God has always been, in Jewish thought, the Messiah. The right hand is if Messiah Yeshua, and the left hand is the unity of Jew and Gentile. The bond or cement that brings them together is the Torah. Think of a Torah scroll that has a right side of wood and a left side of wood, and what's in the middle? The Word brings them together. That's the Torah. Isaiah 9:21, Manasseh is against Ephraim. Ephraim is against Manasseh, but they are both together against Judah. Yet despite all this, his anger has not subsided, and his hand is still outstretched. In Isaiah 11:13-14, the jealousy of Ephraim shall stop, and the oppressors of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, and Judah will not harass Ephraim. They will fly in unison. Jew and Gentile are still at odds against one another, and within the ranks of the church, there is a lot of disunity as well. What it will take for those of the church to make Judah truly jealous of them, it cannot be the way that they are presenting the message of Yeshua. That's not going to happen. Otherwise, Judah would have been flocking into their fold long time ago. Think about this. In the early first century body of Messiah, all the believers came from Judah or close to Judah. When the body of Messiah began to reject the ways of Judah, which were the ways of Israel contained in the Torah, Judah began to turn away from the truth of Yeshua. What if Gentiles turned back to the Torah? Wow. What would happen between Judah and the church? What do you think? Ezekiel 37:16, for now you, son of man, take for yourself one piece of wood and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his comrades. And take one piece of wood and write upon it for Joseph, to wood of Ephraim and to all the house of Israel, his comrades. And Ezekiel 37:19, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am taking the wood of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel as comrades, and I am placing them and him together with the wood of Judah. And I will make them into one piece of wood, and they will become one in my hand. These verses are verses that figure prominently in what we call the two-house movement. in these verses as well, as is in Ezekiel 37, 15 to 28, we see the prophecy of the reunification of Judah and Ephraim. Some in Messianic Judaism say this proves that the Gentiles will become part of Judah. Some say that Judah will become part of the church. Believe it or not, those people are out there. What I say is what God says, and that is that Jew and Gentile would become one in my hand. The hand of God is Yeshua. What this proves is that it will take the hand of Yeshua to reunite all of Israel. Hosea 5:5, the pride of Israel will be humbled before him, and Israel and Ephraim will stumble over their iniquity, and Judah too will stumble with them. In Hosea 5:12, I will be like a moth to Ephraim, like rot to the house of Judah. Israel, Jew and Gentile, will stumble before God. It will be their sin that will cause them to fall before the king, Yeshua. I believe that it will be what is necessary to bring these two brothers back. Both are full of pride in their customs and traditions. Many of these customs and traditions are a direct result of their exiles, Gentiles brought into the pagan world, and Jews in the Babylonian captivity. These high places must be brought down, and the pride of both must be removed. It will only be when they see the light of the lamp that is Yeshua, the living Torah, that we can finally see the end of the road. Hosea 6:4, what can I do for you, Ephraim? What can I do for you, Judah? When your kindness is like a morning cloud and like the dew that departs in early morning, we see Yeshua on one side and unity on the other. Think what can be accomplished when these two are joined together. Zechariah 9:13-14, for I will bend Judah as a bow for me. I will fill the hands of Ephraim with a bow, and I will stir up your children, O Zion, against your children, O Greece, and I will make you like the sword of a warrior. God will appear to them, and his arrow will go forth like the lightning, and the Lord God Elohim will blow with a shofar and go forth in southern tempests. This is what can be accomplished between when Jew and Gentile come together. We will become a power to be reckoned with in the hand of our God. All Israel will bow and will wield that bow. The arrows will be the truth of God revealed in Yeshua, the living word, the Torah of the Most High. And everyone said, Amen. Thank you.